Stand by for Vanguard Radio, investigative exclusive from Craig Cobb.
This is Craig Cobb, Vanguard Radio, Vanguard News Network. I'm speaking with Superintendent W. Charles Chuck Briner of Howell, Michigan. Is that right, sir?
That's correct.
And we're conducting a long-distance interview, and Mr. Briner has agreed to that brief interview. Is that right?
Sure. That's correct.
Okay. So, Superintendent Briner, I called because I'd read about the elegant way in which yourself and Principal Marge Hamill at Howell High School dealt with an incident of graffiti which occurred in early May, and some freshman students had apparently spray-painted "God Hates Fags," I believe. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the school catch those students and punish them?
Eventually, yes. The first symptom that there was any painting that went on was actually found during the period of time that three seniors in our high school decided to cover up that hateful message on a graffiti rock that exists at the center of a courtyard near our high school.
Right, and I found it interesting that the younger children seemed apparently more susceptible to these awful messages of hate than the older children. Is that right? So could you say that perhaps within the 3 years that they'd been in high school, that through the teaching of equalitarianism and egalitarianism, that they had matured?
I think certainly a population of our high school students have been sensitized to the issue of diversity. We have had a rather ambitious set of endeavors to advance diversity, tolerance, and acceptance in our school system that dates back about 4 years. And we undertook some training through the National Conference for Community and Justice. They were the sponsoring training agency. And that occurred first with our district administrators. About 35 of us undertook that training. That then morphed into some focus groups that were conducted here maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And from those focus groups, there was enough testimony from students and community members that we had some serious issues about how we were treating people from diverse backgrounds.
I see.
From that came a community endeavor to assemble an advisory group for the purpose of fashioning a diversity resolution. And after about 6 or 8 months, we came to consensus about that diversity resolution and published it and sought the approval of our local school board, which in December 2003, that diversity resolution passed and became kind of a founding document for how we treat diversity in our school system. And that diversity resolution hangs in each of our schools in a framed fashion at the front entrance of every building. Mm-hmm. From that, we have had a long history of having a diversity club in our high school, and we had some rather high-profile coverage of a diversity club at the high school hanging a diversity flag in the main stairwell of the two-story high school building. And that became somewhat of a lightning rod for varying opinions about how diversity should be accepted or not accepted in our school system.
Well, now, when you say a diversity flag, would that be a rainbow flag? I've heard of that, but I don't know what
it is. It is a rainbow flag, mm-hmm. and it has been adapted a bit in that the students have, since it's been hung, printed across it in black and white cloth, Diversity Club. So it's got a black and white flavor over top of the rainbow flag at the backdrop.
Now, of course, older schools, I've looked at your picture of Howell High School online. It doesn't look as if the architecture's, you know, as it was in the 1950s and 60s in this country, where a lot of urban schools or suburban schools were very large and they'd have many students, you know, just kind of grand architecture, brick. So when you say the banner, I mean, it wasn't, and some of these children had a reaction, it wasn't as if it was a huge, you know, like a huge Third Reich banner or something hanging that they could say, well, we just don't like this.
No, we had a small population of parents and students react very negatively to the hanging of the flag.
Reactionaries.
Yes, some were insistent that the flag be removed. I wrote a press release at that time that the flag would remain. Mm-hmm. Our board has been extraordinarily supportive because of the diversity resolution they approved, and they saw fit to allow the flag to remain also. Mm-hmm. I think if there's any kind of disturbing quality in the people that were protesting it, There seems to be an insistence that the school, in accepting and tolerating diversity, somehow then it gets morphed into a statement that says we are teaching people to be diverse in ways that we don't want our children to be diverse, mm-hmm. and especially as it relates to sexual orientation.
Now, there was the famous high school in Harrisonburg, Virginia, I believe about a year ago, and they actually had a gay-sensitive club. Now, that may be the wrong terminology when I say gay-sensitive, but they just tried to heighten awareness so that the children were not discriminated against on the basis of their, you know, natural sexual orientation in some cases. And they were mightily criticized for that. Now, does your diversity club, do you incorporate, you know, gay teaching? Because I see that this local organization, Sean Kosofsky, has helped with a diversity awareness, but are you getting criticized the same way as Harrisonburg? And it doesn't sound as if your club is that explicit.
It has been in the past. It has not been of late, but it has certainly had that challenge also.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, again, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had some very bold and outed students who came forward seeking, you know, fair and equitable treatment in the school setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we did go through that, and I think we've kind of crossed that bridge, and that is pretty much behind us. I think, though, the lightning rod in the diversity flag then has returned us to sexual orientation mm-hmm. as a central issue in our diversity resolution, because it is expressly guaranteed as an area of acceptance and tolerance.
Yes, and now I've read on your code, on I believe page 58 of your code of conduct, that you will not tolerate your school system any sexist or racist information, I guess you would say, or printings or recordings, I think, of students
yes.
in the school.
We take a very dim view of any of that, and we generally level very serious consequences anyone found to be engaging in, mm-hmm. in hate.
A lot of church groups have sometimes criticized rap music, and I think there's a pretty broad swath of society, even in the African-American churches. Just the general culture at large has begun to criticize some of the rap music, and probably some of the children are aficionados of that, are they not?
Yes, although rap hasn't been a central theme here at all.
Mm-hmm.
We do get some religious criticism of the issue of sexual orientation, but typically it hasn't included music.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a philosophical separation from the school system. And again, I would emphasize that we continue to emphasize safety and security for all,
mm-hmm.
and however students present themselves in the school setting, we want our staff and our student body to be accepting of those differences.
By the way, those students you mentioned last year who had come to you and expressed that they were being discriminated against, were some of those assaulted, perhaps, at least minorly?
I think they get verbally assaulted. I don't think mm-hmm. there's been any physical assault, but I think there have been, mm-hmm. you know, epithets hurled at them and some disparaging language.
Yeah, that's awful.
Mm-hmm. Of a personal nature. And that's one of those insidious issues in high schools. It's very hard to police that, especially in a large comprehensive high school.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that was happening, we had 2,400 students in a 9-12 building
mm-hmm.
Where that was happening. And when kids pass in hallways in large high schools, it's very hard to be there for each and every one of those. But when they were brought to our attention, we certainly investigated those. And I think people in this most recent incident have been very sensitized to two issues. One is that whatever tolerance there has been for that kind of language being hurled back and forth between and among students, I think now people are much more highly sensitized to some of that loaded language about who you are in relation to your sexual orientation.
Oh, yes.
And that tolerance actually, in some ways, is very disturbing, because then when it comes to a point where it hurts, and I think in this recent situation people felt hurt deeply by that, then all those occasions where it has been just kind of spewed around without necessarily any intent to harm, but rather almost mindlessly thrown around, then suddenly that one time it becomes a lightning rod.
And oh, because it's now infrequent.
Yes.
I see, yes.
And then...
Well, you could parallel that with the N-word and what happened here
yes.
in our country in the 60s, so to
yes.
speak, yes.
And so
now it's
when
very
that
painful.
Happens, then people have to examine, especially the adults need to to examine. How have they responded to that word when it was being hurled around the many times before it hurt?
Now, in this back to this graffiti, if I could, just a moment. I see when the older children paint it over. Now, what do they paint over? And I read your quote here, and it was so beautiful that we celebrate the fact that they chose to paint over a hate message on that rock.
That's correct.
It's almost as if it's Plymouth Rock or something.
That's exactly right. I think this is a well-known avenue for expressing oneself through graffiti, and people now, two ninth graders, used it as an expression of hate, and three students swept into action, actually four students, three of whom were seniors, swept into action and covered that message, which was a very, very good thing. We do not want to lose sight of the fact that they did the right, the moral, and the upstanding thing in terms of protecting. At the time, they thought it was aimed at a friend. They were protecting a friend.
Well, those students, I hope they were let off reasonably lightly because they meant well.
They got no consequence. When they went beyond that, and they actually went considerably beyond that with spray paint cans throughout the school commons area.
But that was not on the building, right? Only on the sidewalks, right?
It was on the sidewalks. It was on benches.
Oh, benches.
And it went around the building. It was very, very prevalent, what they did. And
well, maybe they're future anti-racist action folk.
Yeah, I think the issue in this is, do people blend all of the actions into one? Mm-hmm. Or do they separate the good behavior from the damaging behavior to the sidewalks and to the school property? Mm-hmm. And I think the consequences reflect that those were separated at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think, if I may, I have just one other thing to tell you and ask you if you've heard of this. Apparently there's some sort of movement. I read it on the net briefly that some people want to bring up. There's a newspaper called The Aryan Alternative and this Panzerfaust Schoolyard Project CD, and I wondered if you'd heard of that.
Don't know of that.
Well, would that concern you?
That would certainly concern me. I don't know anything about it, but just the way the title is expressed, it would concern me.
Oh, yes, I know it's scurrilous, but Superintendent Briner, thank you very much for speaking today, this Friday, and have a nice weekend, sir.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Please stay tuned to Vanguard Radio for more updates to this story and other investigative exclusives. Also visit govnn.com and vnnforum.com. The Aryan Alternative, news and views for whites you won't find anywhere else. The Aryan Alternative is a print publication of uncensored news for whites. Issue 2 is available now. Be the first in your neighborhood to distribute news without the Jews by ordering 100 copies for $12 through the Vanguard News Network. Visit govnn.com for ordering information. The Aryan Alternative and the Vanguard News Network. No Jews, just right.
You're listening to Vanguard Radio.